Let us turn to the New Testament and read from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. First Corinthians 15, starting from verse 35. Verse 35 from First Corinthians. Let us hear the word of God. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it has pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies, and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. May the Lord bless His word to us all. I thought of having a short meditation this morning, starting from verse 35 over all these passages that we have read this morning. Paul is bringing to us all two simple questions, and that maybe some of us has often asked ourselves. And the question is in verse 35, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? How is all this possible? You see, the beginning of this chapter, actually the whole of this chapter is very well known as the chapter of the resurrection. We all remember this, I'm sure. And that is what Paul has been dealing with and addressing in the section that we did not read at the beginning of this chapter. Paul was teaching these people there at Corinth about the resurrection, the truth of the resurrection of Christ. Some people already there in those early years of Christianity were already denying the truth of the resurrection. They were trying to preach this false or this heresy that Christ was not truly risen again. And attached to this argument, Paul is obviously, you'll find this in verse 13 and 14. You see, Paul is counteracting these people who are saying, if there is no resurrection of the dead, these people were saying that it's not possible. Once we die, it's all over. And that's quite common even today, isn't it? We hear this again and again. Live your life, because then afterwards you'll just become a bunch of dust. But Paul is teaching them, is saying, well, if there is no resurrection, if there is no life after death, well, then Christ is not risen. But many of these people who were receiving this letter at that time, they were witness. Many of the people whom were in touch with these first century believers, they had eyewitnessed the risen Christ. Look at verse 5 of the beginning of the chapter. Actually, verse 4. Paul is saying about Christ that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Verse 5. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. Those are the disciples who first saw Christ with a body out of the grave. And then verse 6. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. And then after that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. So that's the proof Paul is bringing to our attention, even today, that Christ indeed rose from the dead and he was seen by many. And then connected with this argument, Paul is talking about your faith, our own faith, and the faith of all those who trusted in Christ. Because he says, look at verse 14, then if you say that Christ has not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Or look at verse 17. If Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. So, immediately you discover how important it is, this truth, Because if Christ was not risen from the dead, then our religion is indeed vain. There is no forgiveness of sins if Christ is not risen from the dead. And therefore, Paul takes all this long discourse and preaching about this. But then connected with this again, there is our subject this morning about the resurrection of the body of the believers. Paul is connecting this very truth of the resurrection of Christ to make you know for sure that you will be raised as well as he has been raised. It is a direct consequence, because his people as well, those who will be trusting in Christ, will be going into the same place and in the very same way. Notice verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Verse 22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. What a glorious promise for those who trust in Jesus. You are born in Adam and you will die for your sins. But if you are in Christ, you will be alive. Therefore, all this becomes a sort of an introduction of what we have read, the question we have read in verse 35. How is all this going to happen? What is going to be like? What will be the change that will take place at the day of the resurrection, when our bodies, when the bodies of the believers will be glorified after Christ's example? And very simply, even to make this clear, even for children, Paul is giving a little example, a comparison with the seed which is sown in the ground. And Paul says, well, when you have a plant growing up from the ground, whatever it is, whatever kind it is, that comes out of a small seed. And that seed is sown in the ground. It is completely different from the plant which is growing up. And so is of the resurrection of the dead, Paul says. The body that will be raised and will be fit for heaven in glory with Christ is completely different from the one that has been sown here on earth when the body dies. So that's how you are to see death. It is like sowing your body down on earth, and that death will bring up in Christ the new life. It will be a new body, changed, different from the way it was sown in the ground. Now notice four ways that Paul is describing this great change of the resurrection and how this will take place. We find this in verse 42 to 45. We have read this perhaps very quickly, but here we have four different things that help us to see what is going to be like from this present reality that we know very well into the next life of glory and the change that will occur. So the first one is in verse 42. The resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. Corruption. Something which is corrupted is something which is broken. It is ruined. And that is what our body is because of sin. We hear this again and again. as we read the Word of God. And we witness of this because young children will soon, with the time passing by, become older, taller, but also weaker and older. And the aging process will inevitably find you all. The oldest person you can see in this congregation was years ago a child like yourself. And you cannot change this. You cannot stop this unless death comes. But this is the corruption of our bodies. This is the consequence of sin in which we are born. We get old and death will come. There is a process that brings decay. And then ultimately, when this body goes into the grave, our soul will be with God and will meet the judge of all the earth. This is the state we are in. It is corruption. We cannot avoid death. None of us can. And the only person who did pass death and won death is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is, as we have read, the firstborn, the first fruit of all them that slept. If you read Job in various places, he often speaks about the worm of decay, the worm which is in us and will destroy our body. We all are under this law of death, and we cannot do anything about it by ourselves. And as we have read in Psalm 90, that is our destiny here on earth. We can last few years, and the best of us will even reach 80, 80 years old, 90 years old. But this is our body of corruption. And this is the first thing that the resurrection will change. This corruptible, verse 42, this corruptible, this reality, as we are sown, will be raised incorruptible. We will be clothed with clothed and changed with immortality and incorruption. In other words, sin will be present no more. We will know an eternal young age. There will be no decay anymore. We will be all at the same point. We will be all the same. There will be no marrying or getting married. We will be clothed with immortality. And we will not know any sickness. We will know no pain. We will know death no more. That is the incorruption that will be transforming this corrupted body that Paul speaks about. So that's the first thing we are told. This corruption will be changed into incorruption. There will be no more sin, nor pain, nor death. But secondly, notice what Paul is describing in verse 43. He says, "It is sown in dishonor, and it is raised in glory." Dishonor, it's something which is shameful and brings disgrace. It is, again, the consequence of sin. It is our way of living. It is the present state of our body and of our lives. there is an aspect which is disgraceful in all this process of effect of sin. It is humiliating. And this becomes evident, especially when you approach God, when you seek to stand in the presence of God. It is impossible. For God is holy, and He is sinless, and He is pure, and He is glorious. But as sin has entered this world, and as sin is present in your life and body, that's what brings you disgrace. That's what is giving this characteristic in your body of dishonor. Perhaps somebody may exchange this when they look at a baby just born. You are tempted to say that that's so beautiful and that's so perfect. Everything is made in proportion in a newborn baby. But still, the true effect of sins are not seen yet. And as time goes by, and as that beautiful baby changes and becomes able to interact with others, there you notice and you will see the present vile body, which is a body of humiliation. Notice, let us look at Philippians chapter 3, how Paul is again there describing our body. Philippians 3, from verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. That's the way Paul describes our body of sin, a vile body. But it is through Christ and because of Christ that this will be changed. And this dishonor will be changed into glory. That's the beautiful promise that we have in Christ. It is the glorious motive that the Christian have, despite the hardships of life. The Christian can take each and every day with this sure hope that whatever is dishonoring God here in your body will be changed into glory. That's why Paul was encouraging believers to say, as he was living himself, he said, whether I live, whether I die, we are the Lord's. If you are in Christ today, you have this beautiful comfort that you can live for Him, and that you can see in the future, in your future, your dishonoring body transform into full, perfect glory. Dishonor raised in glory. But that is not all that Paul addresses for us. He speaks of corruption, he speaks of dishonor, he speaks of present weakness. Again, verse 43. It is sown in weakness, but it is raised in power. And we all know what he means by weakness. We all face it every day, especially when you are older. That's what your body brings within its frame. It is weak. It is weak in addressing God. It is full of weakness in working for God, in pleasing God. We cannot perfectly do His will. We find ourselves to be weak as we pursue God's will, as we desire to live for Him. we are sown in weakness. And the only hope we have here in this life is the power of the Holy Spirit that we crave and pray for, that He may enable us to live for God, that He may lift us up and bless us with His power. And one day, when we will be sown on this earth as a weak body, the believer will be raised in full, glorious power. The power that will be needed to live eternally and to live without sin in the presence of God. Then we will have all the power that we now lack. Then we will have the glorious power and perfection to be standing before the Lamb. That is why we cry, like Paul here, as we fight the Christian life, and we acknowledge and we pray like him, that the will is present in me, but the power is not. I want to do good, but in me there is no such power. There is the presence of sin that makes me weaker and weaker. And that is what will be changed at this moment. All this weakness will be transformed and raised into glorious power to glorify God and to obey Him forever and to do His will perfectly. Now we are here sold unto sin, but we rejoice that we have been given the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what will happen in that day. Corruption transformed into incorruption, dishonor into glory, weakness into power. And lastly, notice what he says, verse 44. It is sown a natural body, and it is raised a spiritual body. We are sown a natural body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. That's what we have here now. But we will not be so in heaven. We will be spiritual, but we will have a spiritual body. This means we will not be only spirits, but we will be given a spiritual body. Whatever this shall be, it is not clear at all, but this is what we are told. It will be a body fit for heaven and for the presence of God. We know, as I've mentioned before, that in heaven there will be no husband and wives, for example. There will be apparently no young or old. We will be all eternal. We will be like the angels in heaven. So far is what we can say. We will have, for sure, a body transformed from natural into spiritual. And that will be a glorious, marvelous change. Perhaps one of the examples we can think of, although it's not precise, but we see this in nature. I'm sure the children have read about the caterpillar and how a butterfly will come out of the caterpillar. We are told that this small animal, the caterpillar, is living a short life. About 2 or 3 weeks he can eat and walk on the earth slowly and slowly. And then at one point of his life he stays still. He finds a quiet place and there he becomes attached to a branch perhaps. It becomes what we call a chrysalis. You will notice on a tree a close, something like a cocoon, closed, and apparently there is no life inside there. But after a couple of weeks of that apparently lifeless place, something begin to move, something begin to stretch their legs, and after a while a beautiful butterfly comes out of that cocoon. It appeared dead, but there is new life coming out. And so a little bit like this, we are told of our own body, corrupted, dishonorable, weak and natural, will be sown into the earth through death and will be raised in glory by the power of Christ. This is the vision of the Christian. This is the hope of those who have Christ in their lives. And what a tragedy it is to live without this certainty. If you have Christ today in your heart, if His Spirit is moving within yourself, if your Word is alive because of His work in you, you have this hope. You have this proof of Christ resurrected that will bring you the same, in the same way with Him, transformed and made fit to stand before a holy God and praise Him forevermore. That's the mystery that Paul is so eager to explain and with so much passion declaring to these believers at Corinth. It is the truth that you all must grasp and make it for yourself, so you will be ready to face the most terrible enemy of this life, which is death, the consequence of sin. Oh, my friend, do not go into eternity with the assurance of eternal death in hell, but make sure you have Christ in your soul, that He is your Savior, that He is your husband, that He is the one that will never leave you, and bring your body with Him. Listen to Paul. He says, I show you a mystery. Never forget, this is a mystery, but this is a beautiful promise for those who believe. You shall be changed. Whether you are in the grave when Christ comes, whether you will be alive, it will happen in a twinkling of an eye. So quick, in a moment, at the last trump, when the clocks will stop, when the time will finish, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed.